All right, praise the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day, August the 11th, Sunday morning. Let me say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. And I'm so glad. Boy, we got the church sign up yesterday, me and Brother Ed, the two old men. And I'm glad I had him there to help me. I was hanging it upside down and everything else. But we somehow were able to succeed to get the sign up. And we prayed over it.
Yes, we did.
You mean you prayed over the sign? Yeah, I prayed over that sign that if anybody come by, like I used to be, and throw the beer can and hit that sign, that God would smite them with conviction over it.
Right.
And they'd want to come up here and apologize. And we prayed over that sign that if any soul come by that was hurting and had a need, that they find their way up here and get the help they need. Because I'll tell you what, God wants to help people.
Amen.
He offers help to all. All won't take it. All don't want it. Our Sunday school lesson is kind of like that today. We're taking our Sunday school lesson this morning out of Proverbs chapter 3. And actually, I stopped at verse number 6, but I want to read all the way down to verse number 7. That's our first verse of our lesson. I just want to recap on that. God's Word says, my son, I want you to know God is speaking to His children.
Yeah.
My son, forget not my law. That's the problem today. They throw the Ten Commandments out of the schools. And we're going to say something here in a minute that will pertain to why I just made that statement. But they don't want the Word of God. And God says, forget not my law. You know, God gave 10, then Jesus gave 2. And He said all the 10 is summed up in the 2.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said all the law is summed up in them 2 commandments. The first 4 commandments, man's relationship to God. The next 6 commandments are man's relationship to man. That's why He said that. But anyway, He says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. God didn't make suggestions. He gave commandments. And I know man don't like to esteem the commandments of God one way or another. They're going to keep them. There's no getting around them. I know people like to find some way around it. We're going to get on that here in just a second here. He said, for length of days and long life and peace shall they have thee. You think everybody would want to live a long life, to have length of days, to have peace during that time?
Right.
Well, God said that I add to you if you'll just do what I tell you right here in verse 1. He said, if that's what you want, then do what I said in verse 1. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know God wants me to have mercy. I killed a spider yesterday. I hated to kill it, but it looked to me like it's big enough to bite somebody. And my granddaughter, she's scared to death of spiders. Hey, hey, like my tie.
I like it.
My granddaughter's scared to death of spiders. And as I killed that spider, I want you to know I didn't have no mercy. But I thought of that spider that it might be a threat to my family. And I've done this before. I prayed over my house before. We had roaches run down in the house real bad. And I got down and I prayed. I said, Lord, would you please get these roaches out of our house? And immediately they've gone. Some guy said, I dreamed it. I said, no, if I did, it's a nightmare. But I didn't dream it. But we bombed the house. We sprayed the house. We had everybody and her brother come in the house. We couldn't get rid of the roaches. When all this fails, fall down on your knees. I said, Lord, it's my home. Lord, I'm your son. I'm praying right now you'd get rid of these roaches out of my house. There's more to the story. Time would not afford me to tell all of it. I'm ashamed to tell it, but I will sometime. But God had me right where He wanted me with these roaches. This was my little white flag. I surrendered. But anyway, God took those roaches out immediately. I prayed over these spiders. You're going to laugh. And I prayed. I said, Lord, don't get rid of the spiders. Because I know they kill bugs. But I said, I am going to pray this, that you won't let one of these spiders bite one of my family members.
Yeah.
I don't like spiders.
Put a restraint upon them that they won't bite us. I don't mind spiders. You know what the Bible says about spiders? I'll give you a little Bible lesson this morning. You know what the Bible says about spiders? They're in king's palaces. That means with all the maids, with all the butlers, with all that the king had, still going to be a spider. You understand what that statement says?
Yeah.
They're in king's palaces. In other words, learn to live with them. But ask God for help with them if you need it. Well, I didn't have no mercy on that spider. I just want to throw that in there. That's kind of funny, but look. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Some things undergird you and help you. Mercy and truth will help you. He said, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table or the table of thine heart. In other words, keep them as something precious, something dear, something you need. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you know Jesus done that? He obtained favor in the sight of God and man. He done what this verse right here says.
He did.
He says, now, verse 5 and 6, a reason I wanted to back up, I wanted to read these two verses.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, our first verse of our Sunday school lesson this morning actually hinges upon in two verses.
Yes.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. I just want to read part of that verse. Now the Bible said the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. He commands, and He winks at it. He commands men everywhere to repent in Acts chapter 17. But I've met a lot of people that were wise in their own eyes, but they weren't wise like they really needed to be. To jump ahead in our lesson here, look at Proverbs chapter 14 real quick. Look at verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. See, the man is wise in his own eyes. He said, I just don't see it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that used to be me. I was wise in my own eyes. I didn't see it as it really was. I was telling Brother Ed about how my wife helped me see a little better.
Seemed right.
Yeah, she helped my eyesight a bunch. She said, you was wrong. And I didn't think I was, but when she got done, she was right, I was wrong. But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Word for word the same. When God puts something in the Bible twice, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Another example of what I just said right there, turn to Psalms 14 verse 1. Why do you know what it says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look at Psalms 53 verse 1. The fool has said there is no God. God has some things He says twice,
yeah,
for the hope that maybe we might get it.
Yeah.
Jesus, whenever He said Simon Peter's name twice, or when Jesus said, verily, verily, it was so that they would pay more attention and maybe get what He was actually saying.
Yeah.
Well, here, men, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, I said I'm just going to read part of that verse here. Now, here's why I said that. Illinois Governor J.B., I hate to get political, but I need to. You'll see here in a minute. Illinois Governor J.B. Persker, a Democrat, this is not the reason, I just want to mention that he is a Democrat. He signed legislation ensuring that the teaching of the LGBT lifestyle be taught in the public schools. House Bill 346 requires all schools in the state to teach in the textbooks the role and contributions of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in the history of this country in all the textbooks. In other words, it's not optional now. It's mandatory now. See, when people are wise in their own eyes, they improvise. They don't want the Ten Commandments in there.
No.
They want the LGBT lifestyle taught in there.
Oh, yeah.
I know some of the schools are putting on the walls, in God we trust, and thank God they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad to see that. That gave me a blessing. But didn't give me no blessing here. And I want you to know, if we're not careful, this will go on. Nobody will even hear about it. I'm kind of nosing this road. But listen, not only did he pass House Bill 346 requiring it, State Senator Heather Staines, S-T-A-N-S, also a Democrat, sponsored that legislation and said the best way to promote the LGBT lifestyle is through education and exposure. She said this will promote the acceptance of the LGBT way. You get what I'm saying? See, it says here, be not wise in thine own eyes. God says abomination.
Right.
They say I'm hate speech. Well, listen, you're hating the wrong one. I'm just telling you what God said about it.
That's right.
He said it's an abomination for a man to lay with another man like with a woman guy.
Yeah. Right.
He said it's an abomination for two women to lie together. God said that. Now I want you to go just one step further with me. Psalms chapter 73. I know we're just teaching, but I'm about half in the spirit. Look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of who? I'll make sure y'all are there.
Yeah.
What sanctuary of God.
Yeah. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. I'm in Psalm 73, verse 17, Sister Sharon.
Okay.
He said, when I did go in there, he said, then understood I. Therein.
Yeah.
It helped him. He said, I didn't know none of this till I went to church.
Right.
But after I went to church, he said, I started seeing things a little differently. Look here at verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You know, people, they have all kind of mishaps. They blame God and they blame the police. They blame, you know, the red light. They blame the cell phone. But look, God says, that he set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. I could go on and on in this, but I just want you to know a man needs help. And he needs the help of God. Now that what I read there in Psalm 73, in Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, in other words, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. In other words, you might have got his attention once, but now he just walking. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in that.
That's right.
He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see, when a man's wise in his own eyes, he don't know what's good for him.
No.
You can't hardly help someone that's wise in their own eyes.
That's right.
I used to be one of them. I know very well what I'm talking about. You couldn't talk to me about God. You couldn't talk to me about going to church, even though I needed to go to church, even though I needed to be saved. You couldn't talk to me about it. It would be very uncomfortable for you to even try. And yet that goes on today.
Yes, it does.
In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not to thine own understanding. We got a government now, and they're leaning what they call in the direction of liberalism, politically correct, socialism, communism, anything but God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they think that they got it all figured out. God says, be not wise in thine own eyes. He says two things. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Look over at the end of Ecclesiastes.
Amen.
Go on past Proverbs, very last Ecclesiastes. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now Solomon, he just gave us 12 chapters of advice. He's summing it up right here in this one verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the number one thing to do?
Fear God.
Okay, what did he just say right here in Proverbs chapter 3?
Fear God.
Fear the Lord.
Lord.
and depart from evil. So right here in Ecclesiastes 12, and God just gave this to me. It wasn't like I had this in my note or nothing. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ain't it amazing how fitly this thing joins together?
Yes.
Oh me. One verse, verse 7, says so much.
Yeah.
Verse 8, if you do what verse 7 says, if you do that, it shall be health to thy neighbor. You know, I've seen a lot of people suffer a lot of sickness. Me and Brother Ed, we went and visited a young boy up here at the Caverna Hospital in Hart County. His name's Gary, and they've had to amputate his leg like several times. And we was up there, and his mother, Brenda, bless her heart, she's a good mother. She's not left the side of her son. But she showed us a picture of her son. And I have to admit, it wasn't for the faint-hearted. It caused me to pray even more intensely for this young boy. But it was terrible things he's had to suffer. And when we was there, they had him sedated on morphine. He's just on pure morphine. I mean, they're just really sedating him because of the pain he's enduring. But we were praying over him, and he really didn't even know we were even there. And then after we got done praying over him, he kind of come to a little bit. And his mother said, would y'all please pray over him again? And we did. We was glad to do it. But I looked down at Gary as we was praying over him. And as he looked up at me, for lack of better words, his face looked like the face of an angel. He had peace upon his countenance. And I said, Gary, we're going to have a word of prayer with you. And we prayed over him again, didn't we, Brother Ed?
Yes, we did.
And that's about all we can do. But I want you to know God can do even more than any of us can do. I know the prayer of faith. I mentioned it to Brother Ed about James chapter 5, the prayer of faith concerning people that are sick. And we do need to pray in faith. And we do need to believe God to do the things we ask Him to do, because without faith it's impossible to please Him.
Right.
And that prayer of faith is so important. But listen, as we've done all of that, see if I can get my thought back here. Oh. God's still got to do His part.
Yes.
I've seen people suffer because they were stubborn to allow God to have any place in their life.
Right.
Now the Bible tells us plainly that the way of transgressors is hard, and they'll go that hard way, and they'll blame everything, they'll blame everybody, they'll blame God for everything that don't go their way. They'll do anything except admit they're part of the problem. You
yeah.
see what I mean?
Yeah.
That health. I'm 65, and I don't even think I was this healthy when I was a teenager. What do you attribute that to, Brother Eddie? Well, I'll tell you my secret. You got a pencil and piece of paper, write it down.
Lord.
I've read my Bible through 17 times. It put everything in perspective between my ears. His Word is not only a lamp unto my path of light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, but I want you to know the path of justice, shine light, shine more and more unto the perfect day. God said, my Son, attend to my Word, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for their life, all those that find them, and health to their flesh. God sent His Word and healed them. Jesus said, the words I speak, their spirit, their life. We need a good appetite, a good diet of the Word of God. And if you do, you'll have health
right.
and enable.
Yeah.
The doctors say, boy, you're sound. You're healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. When we do abstain from the Word of God, well, in Him we live and move and have our being. The Word became what? Flesh. Look among us. We beheld His glory. Glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. I just want you to know we need a good diet of the Word of God. And a good diet of the Word of God will fix 99% of our problems anyway.
That's right.
Well, God's giving advice here. And His advice is that if you do acknowledge Him, if you do give the most earnest heed to His Word, He said it'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. I never broke a bone. I don't know how I fell out of trees. Man, I remember one time we was hunting over there at Brownsville. This big old buck was coming down there to me, and I drew my bow back. Man, he's coming. I mean, big old, looked like that Hartford deer. And I had that bow drawn back about a 10 pointer. And he's coming straight to me, and I'm stepping back. And pretty soon, buddy, I stepped back, and there wasn't nothing to step back on, and here I went. I fell probably 30 feet out of a tree. And I'm falling with a full drawn bow. And I looked at that deer, and it said, I guess it said, I've seen everything but this. They've shot guns at me, they've shot arrows at me. Now they're throwing a whole hunter at me. And here I am falling. I thought, what am I doing with this bow in my hand? I threw that bow as far as I could throw it. And I'm still falling.
Yeah.
I fell forever. And right before I hit the ground, I tensed up real tight, hoping for the best. I mean, and I hit that ground, and I mean, it knocked all the breath out of me. Mm. Here come my dad running up there. He got there in a second. This deer was between me and him, and it kind of seen him and come straight towards me. Anyway, I'm laying there. He said, "Oh, you hurt? Are you hurt? Say something. It knocked all the breath out. I couldn't even get a grunt out. I mean, I'm just sitting there trying to get my breath back. He said, "Say something. I didn't know you hurt. And I finally got, "I'm okay." And he cussed me to fly with me. You scared the break out of me. I'm just trying to recover my breath. I've never broke a bone. God says, I'll give you health. He said, I'll give you strong bones. I just want you to know the simplicity of this. It's pretty simple. God said, if you do what I say, I'll do what I say. Look here, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now the church, they give me $50. They at one time gave me $100. I told them, I said, that's absurd. I said, I ain't worth that. I meant that. I'm just a little dog. I'm just glad God counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. I've never tried to build any reputation for any way. I'm ashamed to be a preacher. But I think that God has to use someone like me. I'm ashamed that He couldn't find someone else. But I want you to know, I do want to do the things that He's asked me to do with the church. They loved me. They wanted to give me $100. I said, look, I ain't worth $100. Let's put this thing down at $50. I'll teach Sunday school. I'll preach, and that's it. I don't want to be a hindrance to this church. I love the Lord, loved the church. I love the church. Listen, the best thing that ever happened to me was the day I come into church. I got straightened out in more ways than one.
Yeah.
But this morning, I didn't even have my tithe money. I felt like a cow, been robbed. We had a pool party. Then we had a paint party. And they picked me clean. If that wasn't enough, my wife, as I was going out the door, she said, we need some money to get something to eat with. So I took my $50 church, and church gave me $50 as a pastor. I just signed the back of it. I said, right here. Because I want to honor God.
Yeah.
I done found out you can't outgive Him.
No, that's right.
I done found out not only does He notice what you give, but He notices why you give.
Right.
Now, to make a point, you see them two little specks in there?
Uh-huh.
Them are actual weather mites. He noticed a woman putting two mites in an offering. I don't think it sounded like a dinner bell when them two little pieces of bronze fell in there, and them other people went up there, and I mean, they're kind of pouring just a little bit, make sure everybody's looking.
Yeah.
Pouring a little bit more.
That's true.
And, getting that vain glory, the praise of man.
Yeah.
And y'all listen real good what I'm saying right there.
Yeah.
Vain glory. I don't want the praise. I want your praise. Don't get me wrong. But I want the praise of God too.
Right.
If I can have your praise and the praise of God, wonderful.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to praise, I want the praise of God more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
She got the praise of God with two little bitty, size of my little fingernail, pieces of bronze. Jesus said that she had put in more than they ought. He said they of their abundance give, but she gave all that she had. He noticed that. I just want you to know.
Yeah.
He notices what you give.
Right.
He notices why you give.
That's right.
And when you honor Him, He honors you. That's why He says what He says here.
Yeah.
He says, honor the Lord with thy substance.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you come in this world with?
Nothing.
And the Bible says, certain you're going to leave with?
Nothing.
There you go. Amen.
But the world, they look, you know, and they say, that's all they want, your money. And they haven't been in the sanctuary of God. They have no idea. Oh, we got all kind of time. Look at all the Sunday school people coming in. But it's important. It's important to honor God with your money. It's important. It's one of the things, the ways we can worship God. You see, I don't know really any way to illustrate this other than God gave me what I have, and to honor Him for giving me what I have, He don't need my tithe.
No.
All the silver's His, all the gold's His, all the cattle on a thousand His, and the taters in the hills, everything, it all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord, the fullness of it. He don't need none of it.
No.
But when I say, God, I want to thank You for what You give me, and I want to give some to You, I'm honoring Him. I don't know how I can say this in the right way, but that's the only way I can honor God with my living. Now, back before they had money, they honored the Lord with the first one of the flock. They said, Lord, this is Yours. Thank You for all of that whole hillside over there full of all that You blessed me with. Abraham honored God. He gave sacrifice. God honored Abraham. He is very rich. I don't do it to be rich. I kind of hope I never become rich. I'm afraid it'd be a snare. I know some people can handle it. I don't think I could. I think it messed me up. I told a man one time, I believe God wanted me to be poor. And he looked at me and said, I believe You're right. And I don't know exactly how to say what I'm saying, but I'm right where God wants me to be.
Amen.
Bible says, I believe it's over in Proverbs. Let me see if I can find this real quick. It'll go real good right here. If I can find it. Just bear with me here a minute. I don't know that I can find it, but I think I can. There's a lot of territory under my little pea brain. Well, for starters, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 24, riches are not forever. But that's not the one I'm looking for. Hold on a second here. Here we go. Thank You, Lord. Proverbs chapter 30. We'll read verse 8 and verse 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Verse 9. Lest I be full and deny Thee, and say, who is the Lord? Remember Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? He had so much. He said, I don't need God. Found out He did. Lest I say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God, my God, in vain. I just want you to know that money can be a snare. A lot of people are probably in prison today because they've done the wrong thing to get rich. Or maybe made some bad decisions because they was rich. I don't know. But honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's about the only way you can honor God, is with your money, with your praise, with your prayer. Look at, if you do that, look at verse 10. If you do honor God with your first fruits, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now God has promised to bless if you honor Him. He's promised to bless you for it. An example, I guess, of a man that got the blessing but he didn't honor God in is found in Luke chapter 12. That talks about a certain man. Now when God doesn't name a man, there's a reason for that. God could have named this man. Says the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself. That's why I'm talking about being wise in your own eyes.
Yeah.
Saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Did he mention God anywhere in any of those verses? Well, God does. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast thus provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. God tells us not to be wise in our own eyes, to acknowledge not only our need of God, but to honor Him with all of our substance. And if you do, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And He says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's a lot of admonition in these verses we've just read here. Look at verse 11. My son, again, God's talking to His children.
Yes.
A child left its own, the Bible said, to bring its mother shame. It says, chasten thy son while thou still hope. For if thou beatest him with a rod, and I got plenty of them, he shall not die, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Train up a child in the way he shall go when he's old and not depart from it. I just want you to know, chastisement is something God gives His children. And if you be without chastisement, Hebrews says, you're not a son. You just think you are, but you're not. But He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Anybody here have been corrected by God?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me share one with you. When I first got saved, I hadn't really learned it all now neither. But I was a far cry of what I know right now. Does anybody know Brother Bybee? He showed up here several times.
Yeah.
Okay, I worked with his son, Chuck Bybee.
Yeah.
He was on my crew. We was best of friends. We talked about God. Talked about the Bible. King James Bible, by the way, Brother Dallas. Talked about the Bible every day. Me and Chuck, I mean, how good, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together and we have good fellowship, Karen. Every day. I mean, we just indulged in the Bible. We had the Bible left on the press. We was printing and reading the Bible. So look at what I just read. Anyway, Chuck comes up to me one day, and he said, Brother Eddie, have you ever considered this verse right here? And he showed me this verse. And cast not thy pearls before swine. And lest they turn and trample. Or turn them out. Really, I can't even quote the verse right now. Cast not thy pearls before swine, lest they turn and turn and rend thee, or something like that. Anyway, he said, what do you think that means? Now, I didn't see this coming, Brother Dallas. I just want you to know I had my mind in neutral. And it wasn't like I was sitting there with great discernment or nothing. He said, what do you think that means? I said, well, you know, I never really thought about it much, Brother Chuck. I didn't see this coming, Brother Jerry. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. I just want y'all to know how bad I failed in this. He said, I think it means that you shouldn't witness to everyone, but just to those that God's leading you to witness to. There's no telling how red-faced I got. I lost it. I mean, I really lost it. I said, I'll tell you right now, I didn't what I think it means. I'm going to witness to everyone that'll stand still long enough for me to witness to.
Right.
And I really overdone it.
Right.
And I offended my brother. I saw offended. I couldn't help it. I mean, I'm in out-of-control rage. I mean, I'm like Saul talking to David. I'm ready to throw a javelin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he walked off, you know, in a very loving way, walked off and let me fume. And I'm up there, mad at the way he injured. And he gave me time. And finally he came up there and he said, I hope I didn't make you mad. I'm fine. Yeah, I was the worst supposed to tell the truth ever. Further thing, I'm fine, Chuck. I said, you know, I just never really thought about it like that. I'm biting nails off. Mad. Well, Dallas, I mean, God's in this thing. He's teaching me the hard way, the correction I'm talking about getting corrected from God. Because I needed to know the right way here. But I wasn't really that open as I thought I was to good instruction. So anyway, on the way home, I decided I got to do something here. I mean, I can't take no more of this. So on the way home, Carolyn, I stopped by the church.
That time I had a key to it. I went in there and I fell down on my face and I said, "Dear Lord," I said, "I failed miserably today." I said, "I know you already know all about it." But I said, "I just want you to know that I need to know what I need to do. I need to know, you know, what really that verse says." So here's what I did, Carolyn. I said, when I get home and I open up the door of my house, I'm going to ask my wife what that verse means, and whatever she says, I will take it to be from you, and I'll accept it. And I'm driving home thinking, I'm going to win. I got this. And I, for lack of better words, it was God down there and said, "I got you, babe." So anyway, I drive home, walk into our house with my loving wife fixing supper. And I said, "Honey," my wife named Dottie. I said, "Dottie," I said, "you ever think about this verse right here about casting your pearls before swine?" I said, "What do you think that means?" She said, "Well, I think it means y'all not witness to everyone, but just to those that God leads you to witness to." I was walking on pastor, went back in the bedroom. I said, "Okay, I'm sorry. I hear." And I went to Chuck and apologized to him, hugged him, kissed him, told him, "Thank you so much. You've helped me more than you realize." But you see what I mean? Everybody's not open to correction.
God's not in anyway.
Reprove a wise man, he'll thank you for. I got big time reproved. And I did thank Brother Chuck. He's still my beloved brother. But I kind of lost it there a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was young. You know, I hadn't really matured. And I thought I'd arrived and I wasn't even in the door, if you know what I mean. I'm still learning, Karen. I don't know if you can graduate from this school. But that correction, a lot of people, they're not open to it. You got to watch yourself around a lot of people.
Right.
I hope my watch is right. I swear so much it's so full of water, but I've got 15 minutes to 11. Does that sound anywhere close to correct?
Right.
Y'all come on in. Good to have you. We're trying to have a Sunday school in here. We're glad to see the visitors. We're glad to see everyone that comes. Amen. But God here, He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Let me throw another in here real quick. Back when I first got saved, my little boy, he's still little, he's in the He-Man.
Yeah.
By the power of Grayskull. I mean, he's 8 years old, he's full of life. You know, when you get old, you look at these kids and you think how they do it. They go all day long and you're sitting there just trying to struggle through the house. They're full of life and you're over half dead. But he was full of life. And that Sunday night after church, we had a soup, kind of like a soup meal after the church. We had a big kettle back there, you know, and the ladies have made a big thing of soup. We had soup and crackers and sandwiches. And I do like soup, and I like tuna fish sandwiches and all that. But, you know, I fixed me a plate, and wife fixed her a plate, and the older two girls, they fixed him a plate, and here comes He-Man. And he come running through the door and he jumped. He man, by the power of grace, God, he landed right in somebody's plate and soup on their wall. What'd you do, brother? I lost it. I got everybody together, so we're leaving right now. We got in the car before we got to the end of the road over at Bethel Baptist Church where you get to Sampson Street. I turned around from driving that car and I said, "Maybe one of these days God will give me a good little boy." He didn't say a word, Dallas. But God did.
Yeah.
He smoked my heart out immediately. Mm-hmm. My wife may not have known it. Those two girls may not know it, but I never said a word all the way home. I'll tell you right now, but I got smoked big time over those words. I had to go to work at night, Brother Dallas. I'm out there printing magazines at R. Donnelly & Sons. It's 3:00 in the morning. I've done had all this I could take. I raised up my little white flag. I called home. I got my wife finally answered the phone. We didn't have cell phones back then.
Yeah.
We just had, you know, the old put your finger in their phone. And I've been saved 31 years. I called home. I said to my wife, I said, "I need to talk to her son." She said, "He's asleep." I said, "Either get him up or I'm coming home." And my wife's pretty partial to money. Most women are. So rather than me leave work, she went and got that little boy up. He answered the phone, and I could tell he's asleep, Bonnie. And he said, "Hello."
bless his heart.
Yeah.
I said, son, I just want you to know God's already gave me a good little boy. I'm so sorry. I said what I said. He said, okay, and then he went to bed. Well, nothing to him at all. But it was something to God.
Right.
He heard that. He said, time for Eddie to get a little chastisement. I have been chasing that Lord. It's probably the most severe. I've had a whole bunch more. Whole bunch. But that was a pretty quick one I could throw in there. But if you're saved, God will chasten you.
Yeah.
God will correct you. And thank God that He does.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm on my way. I ain't got there yet. And there's a lot of things I still need to learn between here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And God help those that God doesn't correct, doesn't chasten. Look at verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Now, like I said, I mean, this Bible fits together. It fitly joins together. But in Hebrews here, chapter 12, it talks about don't faint when you're chastening of the Lord. Let's see here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation? I'm thinking he's probably mentioned this out of Proverbs chapter 3. Have you forgotten Proverbs chapter 3 pretty much? Which speaking unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastising, God dealing with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. And you know, that very well could be a reflection upon this scripture right here. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects. I'm glad God loves me. Let me tell you something. My mom and my dad, they corrected me. I was the only child. They both done graduated this life. Have you got any idea at all what thing I love my parents the most for?
Making you mine.
You better believe it. I'm so glad they love me enough to discipline me, to tell me when I was wrong, to put me in my place. You know, you pick yourself up out of the floor three or four times, you can teach a monkey. Mm-hmm. And I was a yahoo. I mean, buddy, I had it bad. I'm so glad that my mama, one time I got in trouble sharing, and I was real fast with my reflex. I couldn't help it. Mama tried to slap me and I blocked her. And I wasn't doing it on purpose. I mean, it's just reflex. And she really slapped my block. She said, put your hand behind your back. No. And she got to laughing. She said, get out here before I change my mind. I burnt the door down. But you know what? I'm glad they love me enough to chasten me. I'm glad they love me enough to correct me. But even greater love has God for me than He gave me my parents and that He put it in their heart to mold my character, to let me know some things were wrong, and there is a word called no. Amen.
Right, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Boy, if you had good parents, you ought to thank God for them.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Happy is that man that findeth wisdom. Boy, I tell you what, I'm happy. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go just a hair further of that happy. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms chapter 144. And somebody read this real loud, verse 15. That way I know you're there. Psalms 144, last verse.
Happy is a people.
Wait a minute, read it slow. Happy is that people. What people?
Yeah.
Read it there, brother Ed.
Happy is that people that is in much a case.
Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I just want you to know God's people are happy.
Right.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Right.
I used to think I was happy.
Yeah.
I got good and saved. I've never been happy to amount to anything
concerning how happy God's people are. I started noticing birds singing. I started noticing the sun rising. I started noticing the moon and the stars. Yeah. I got happy about everything when I realized who I was.
Amen.
What God had done for me.
Yes.
Boy, it'll make you happy. Amen. Turn your frown upside down. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. God's all about happiness. Oh, I want to stop right there. We'll stop on a happy verse. I'll tell you right now, if you're not happy today, you can be. God's all about making people happy. You know, people get happy, hey, I won the lottery. It's the worst thing that happened to someone. Hey, Brother Mitchell. Sister Phyllis. Hey man, we done got in a big way in Sunday school. I wasn't expecting it to be like that. But it was good. It all fit. It all fit. Amen.